Thank you, Mr. Wilfred Negev. I'm Deputy Chairperson of FAO Council. His Excellency Papa Seck, Minister for Agriculture and Rural Equipment of Senegal, Her Excellency Dora Silia, Minister for Agriculture of Zambia, His Excellency Gauri Shankar, Minister of Agriculture and Development of Nepal, Vice Ministers, Ambassadors, Excellencies, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. It is my honor to welcome all of you and open this section of the Council. This week, the main subject for your consideration is the Program of Work and Budget 2018-2019, PWB, as we call in our FAO dialect. The proposed PWB was presented to you during an informal seminar last month, and it was also discussed in the last joint meeting of the Finance and Program Committees. I thank the members of the Finance and Program Committees for supporting the proposal for the level of the budget in the next biennium, and for recommending this Council section to endorse the budget level as proposed. I hope this can be done during this week. If Council decides to endorse it, we will repeat the remarkable achievement we made 2 years ago, and for the second consecutive time, reach consensus on the budget level at the session of the Council preceding the conference. This will allow us to focus more on programmatic and substantive matters during the conference to be held in the first week of July. Excellencies, the PWB, the Medium-Term Plan 2018-21, and also the Reviewed Strategic Framework have been mainly designated to further align FAO's work with the Sustainable Development Goals. Our five strategic objectives have the same targets of the SDGs, especially those to which FAO is most directly involved. And the work of the strategic programs will also be measured by SDGs indicators. This way, FAO's work is projected to contribute to the achievement of 40 targets of the 15 SDGs, which will be measured by 53 SDGs indicators. As you can see, a lot of work. Let me repeat, 40 targets, 15 SDGs that we are close involved, and 53 SDGs indicators. This full alignment has been possible because of the centrality of food and agriculture to the Sustainable Development Agenda 2030, and also because over the last 5 years, FAO has adopted an integrated, interlinked, and interconnected approach similar to the SDGs. In fact, to eradicate extreme poverty and achieve zero hunger, the overarching SDGs number 1 and 2, we have to act on many fronts. We have to tackle climate change, manage natural resources in a sustainable way, and build resilience of poor family farmers and rural communities in the face of conflicts and protracted crisis. As we all know, this combination of conflicts and climate change impact has been devastated to achieve our zero hunger goal. Unfortunately, famine is back in Africa. It has already struck South Sudan and other countries in Africa like Somalia and northern Nigeria are on the brink of starvation. The same occurs in Yemen, in the Near East region. If nothing is done, some 20 million people could starve to death in the next 6 months in those four countries. And let's remember that famine does not just kill people. It contributes to social instability and also perpetuates a cycle of poverty and aid dependence that endures for decades. Ladies and gentlemen, I visit the Lake Chad Basin early this month. Poor family farmers and rural communities are hopeless in this region where Boko Haram emerged. These people were already struggling against the impacts of climate change, related drought, and the lack of public investments and opportunities, especially for the youth. And then their lives and livelihoods have been devastated by the conflicts of armed groups. If we do not support these people, they will have no option other than join local militias or movements of distress migration. FAO and our main partners in the region, WFP, UNICEF, and UNCCR, are already taking action. More than 1.2 million people in the most affected areas of the Lake Chad Basin will receive assistance from FAO and our partners in the coming months before the planting season starts. These activities include the distribution of cereal seeds, animal feed and vaccination, and the provision of cash transfer, just to name a few. We also envisage to start restocking the herbs of the pastoralists affected by this perverse combination of drought and conflict. Let me say that if we don't do that, restocking the herbs, those people, especially the pastoralists, will remain in the campus forever. They need to get back to their jobs and they need their animal to do it. FAO intends to leverage its support in the Lake Chad Basin. The establishment of the new sub-regional office for West Africa will also contribute to this purpose. I would like to take this opportunity to inform you that I have decided to start negotiations with Senegal to host the new sub-regional office after a transparent process of consultation with the countries involved. Early this month, we met the representative of all four countries that had manifested interest in hosting the sub-regional office to explain how the decision was taken. I want to thank Mr. Negirva for his support during the whole process. Excellencies, the PWB 2018-19 provides a list of 10 priority areas for FAO to increase its technical capacity next biennium. Climate change mitigation and adaptation, sustainable agriculture production, poverty reduction, water scarcity management, migration, and the support of conflict-affected rural livelihoods are among those priority areas. We are also continuing the work we are already doing on sustainable food systems, statistics, fisheries, forestry, AMR, following previous request of members. And we are bringing the Technical Cooperation Program, TCP, to 14% in the net appropriation. This is the minimum request by conference for the first time in 1989 and then reaffirmed by conference in 2015. Within the regular budget, we have found over $20 million to reinforce each of these areas. These resources will mainly come from efficient savings, from the reprofiling of administrative posts, and from specific activities that we propose to de-emphasize. Let me stress 2 points here. First, I will be always committed to finding more savings and promoting more efficiency, as I have done over the last 5 years. But I have already cut to the bone. There is no more fat left. So we should only expect small incremental savings ahead. For any new area of activity to be added to the list of priorities, we also need to indicate what should be replaced, discontinued, or reoriented. Another option is to finance FAO's work through extra-budgetary funds, and this is the second point I wanted to highlight. Voluntary contributions are of vital importance to FAO, now more than ever. We have circulated an information note number one that explains the priorities and also indicates the areas and activities in which we are expecting to allocate the voluntary contributions. By the way, you will discuss during this council a new scale of assessed contribution. Many countries will pay more, and many others will pay significantly less in the next biennium. And for those who will be paying less, such as most OECD countries, I encourage them to keep their money in FAO as voluntary contributions. A second information note that we have circulated already aims to further clarify those areas of de-emphasis. We are de-emphasizing very specific activities where FAO does not have comparative advantage or where these activities are not a central part of our work or even can be done in partnership with other institutions. We are streamlining our work, focusing where FAO can make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, some countries have expressed their concern about resources allocated to some conventions and treaty bodies, and specifically the Committee on World Food Security that was kept at the same level of our previous budget. On this, let me recall that the CFS receives equal contribution from the three Rome-based agents, and the three heads of the Rome-based agent in our last meeting have the common understanding that these resources that are provided are basically to sustain the work of the Secretary. Additional funding for their activities should come from voluntary contribution, not only from member countries, but also from private sector and civil society entities. In relation with the three Rome-based agents, I want to tell you that I met last week the new WFP Executive Director, Mr. David Beasley, to discuss cooperation plans for the coming months. I have also invited him to participate in the closing section of this council that will discuss FAMIN. And he will try to do it by video conference from Geneva this Friday. Some time ago, I also met I also met the new president of IFAD, Dr. Gilbert Hongbu, and I am convinced that the three RBAs' collaboration will be further stronger in our future. Ladies and gentlemen, let me refer now to the independent assessment of the technical capacity. The external consultants have provided the new version of the report for your consideration. The leader of the consultants, Mr. Daniel Sud, will present the report, followed by a short introduction from Maria Elena that coordinate the work done by the Secretary. Let me recall that the report concludes that FAO has increased its technical capacity in the period from 2012 to 2016, both at headquarters and decentralized office. And it has been achieved despite the flat budget, mainly thanks to efficient savings and flexibility from the use of consultants. I think this report is a good baseline, not to say a very good one, for further systematic evaluations in the future that could address a more disaggregated data level and a qualitative approach. Making FAO a better organization, more efficient and more effective, has been a huge effort, and I am committed to continuing on this path. Focus, interlinkage, value for money, technical capacity and partnership are today hallmarks that define FAO. This is the result of our work together. It does not benefit me or the Secretary, but FAO, our organization. As I used to say, I could not achieve any of these goals alone without your support and stimulus. And now, more than ever, we need to stay together and act together to overcome the challenge to achieve zero hunger and promote sustainable development. So I would like to thank you for all we have done together and for all we have to do in the next 2 years. Before concluding, let me inform you that I have selected Mr. Thomas Lauren for the position of Deputy Director General Operations. Mr. Thomas has vast experience in a long career as a FAO staff member. I'm sure that he will continue to give important contributions to the modernization of the organization. You will receive a note with his CV asking for your endorsement. I would also like to bring to your attention the issue of FAO governance cost. As I had already said before, management will continue to look for additional savings and ways to improve the efficiency of our organization. In this context, I encourage you to reflect on the number of formal meetings of the governing bodies that we have every biennium. These meetings place extensive demands on the Secretary in terms of preparation of documents, time dedication, as well as costs regarding interpretation and other procedures. Let me give you some estimated numbers of this last biennium. Governance cost amount about $72 million. $72 million. This includes only cost of the Secretary, Conference, Council, and technical and other committees that were estimating $18 million, but also time of the senior manager and our staff in support of this meeting, about $37 million, and the related cost of CPA, $11 million. Of course, regular interaction between management and membership is fundamental, and it is also part of the operational life of any organization in the UN system. But we should ask ourselves if such a number of formal meetings are really necessary. So I firmly believe that we have room for further enhancing of efficiency and also for reducing costs in the areas of meetings of governing body. In this sense, we have decided to reduce the days of the next conference in July. Instead of starting on Saturday, as it was in the past, it will begin on a Monday from 3 to 8 of July. Time and money are valuable resources in our common quest to end hunger and extreme poverty by 2030. Let's use them wisely. Thank you very much for your attention.